Hello again, I'm Kathleen Dunn. You are listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio for this Thursday, the 11th of December. On a very cold winter night in 1988, someone put a small kitten into a book slot at a library in Spencer, Iowa. The kitten had paws that were frozen. The kitten lived subsequently in the library for some 19 years and was adopted by the library, was adopted by the town, and really the story touched the entire world. We'll talk about that this hour with the author of the bestseller, Dewey, the Small Town Library Cat Who Touched the World. Vicki Myron will be joining us. Vicki writes in the intro to the book, how much of an impact can an animal have? How many lives can one cat touch? How is it possible for an abandoned kitty to transform a small library into a meeting place and tourist attraction, inspire a classic American town, bind together an entire region, and eventually become famous around the world? You can't even begin to answer those questions until you hear the story of Dewey, read more books. Good name, huh? The beloved library cat of Spencer, Iowa. Vicki was for 25 years a librarian and 20 years a director of the library in Spencer. And obviously you see a lot of changes, and this cat worked his way into her life in many substantial ways during some extremely trying times for Vicki and also for the town of Spencer. We'll be welcoming phone calls. I'm sure some of you have had the great pleasure of already reading the book. The number is 800-486-8655, 800-486-8655. And you can send an email if you'd like. That address is talk@wpr.org, talk@wpr.org. Hello, Vicki. Thanks so much for being with us.
Good morning, Kathleen. Yeah. It's great to be with you.
Yeah, very nice to have you here. Can you explain, tell me why you think it's a lovely book, but it says something about these times and about the tenderness of this story and the impact of this story that your book has become really number one on the New York Times bestseller list for quite some time.
Yes, yes. We've been on the bestseller list for 12 weeks now.
Oh, my gosh.
I think, first of all, the timing was perfect. You know, we're having some difficult economic times. We've had the war. People were ready for a feel-good story. I think, too, that the story of the Midwest and Iowa and small-town values and some of my life struggles resonated with so many people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think you're right. It does resonate. Let's talk about that day in 1988. You go to the library in the morning and look what you found.
Yes. I was making coffee and getting ready to empty the book drop, and I heard this tiny sound in the book drop. And as you said, it was January of 1988. It was 15 below zero.
Ooh.
And I was hoping for something small and cute like a chipmunk, because it certainly didn't sound like a kitten. But when I opened the lid, there was this tiny kitten who looked gray, and he was starving and frozen. And I pulled him out, and he had the most gorgeous eyes I've ever seen.
Mm.
And so I gave him a warm bath to save his life more than anything, and he turned into this gorgeous orange tabby with long fur. And I fell in love immediately.
And everybody else did as well, right? I mean, the other librarians.
They
just
did.
Fell
they
in
did.
Love.
He went to everyone. He purred through the bath. He purred when everyone petted him or touched him. He was very laid back and mellow, but he absolutely adored people.
Mm-hmm. And how long did it take before all of you made the decision, well, this cat's going to stay at the library?
Well, within the first 20 minutes, I had already been thinking about it. I had been director for 6 months, and one of my first goals, I had already been working there for 5 years, was to change the library from a cold concrete block building built in the 1970s into a warmer, friendlier place to be. And once I looked at Dewey, I knew that he was the perfect catalyst for that. So I started thinking it immediately. But then, of course, I had to call the city attorney and the council and the mayor and all the other powers that be in town to see if I could actually get it accomplished.
Mm-hmm. And there is somewhat of a tradition of having a cat in libraries?
Yes. It goes back historically many, many years to cats being mousers and keeping rodents away from the books. So that happened, you know, hundreds of years ago. But it kind of fell out of favor and buildings changed. But there were always library cats. In fact, I discovered after Dewey came along that there was a Library Cat Society.
Oh, that's interesting.
Based out of Minnesota.
Uh-huh.
And so Dewey became a member of that society. And although they're rare, they're still out there.
Right. And little did probably you know at the time, and certainly the powers that be in Spencer, Iowa, that this cat was to make an enormous impact on so many lives, not only bringing warmth to the library and life to the library, but also to disabled children and to your daughter when you were having problems, as we all do with teenagers.
Mm-hmm.
And this cat made an enormous impact.
He did. He was a very special cat. I always said he was an old soul in a cat's body.
Hmm.
He had such an affinity for people and seemed to have a sixth sense about who needed him most and when.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
He was mellow and laid back. He was never hyper. But he adored the public. he hated being shut out of meetings or not being allowed to be with his people. So I did take him home with me on the days when we were closed because he hated being alone so much.
Hmm.
But he was always more than happy to come back to his library.
Mm-hmm. So tell me about who needed him most and when.
It depended. The public, a lot of times, we never knew their stories. You know, they were private. But we could see the impact he was having on people with bad economic times. It was, after all, the 80s and the farm crisis, and Spencer was at a low point, and as the farmers were, and he just generally cheered everyone up. He gave special attention to people who were having a bad day. I've heard from many people since he died that, oh, they lost their mother that day, or their favorite dog, or lost their job, and Dewey would somehow spend 2 to 3 hours with them instead of just a few minutes, and would cuddle closer and purr more, and just seemed to cheer up people. How he knew that, I don't know, but he did. And the elderly, the disabled, the homeless, he did not discriminate. He loved everyone. We had one homeless man who never spoke to us. We never knew his name. He never checked anything out. But he came in twice a day, morning and afternoon, and he would walk around and find Dewey, put him up on his shoulder, and whisper to him for about 20 minutes, and then smile and put him down and leave. And we never knew what those conversations were, but it obviously made his day. And after Dewey died, we never saw him again.
No. Oh, my. And then a story, and there are so many of them, that touched me, a profoundly disabled child who was not able to move very much or speak very much, who had this almost shrieking response to Dewey.
Yes.
when she saw him.
Her name was Crystal, and she was profoundly disabled. We had 7 disabled classes coming in a week for special activities at that time, and she was just kind of this quiet little girl in a wheelchair, had a wooden tray on top so she could lay her arms on the tray, and I never saw her look up or look into anyone's eyes or smile or speak or even make a sound. But one day Dewey jumped on the tray of her wheelchair, and she let out this delightful squeal, and she got the biggest smile on her face. And after that happened, the minute her wheelchair would come in the front lobby, she would make a sound, not squealing so much as a deeper sound. And I think she was trying to say Dewey. But he would come running and jump on the tray of her wheelchair. And for the entire time they were together, she had the brightest eyes and the biggest smile that would just warm your heart.
Hmm. Isn't it just profound how this cat knew who to go to?
He did. He did. And he just... If a staff member was having a bad day, he would spend more time with them. If I was having a difficult time, he would spend more time in my office and play more and cuddle more. And he just seemed to know who needed him and when.
Mm-hmm. Those of us who have teenagers know how difficult those years can be. He really helped you in terms of being able to converse about Dewey with your daughter.
Yes, yes. We were having a difficult time. First of all, she was an only child. I was a single mother, and I was not only remodeling the library, I was working on my master's degree.
Oh my.
I was gone to meetings a lot, and we had just kind of had that teenage disconnect. And when Dewey came into our lives and I started bringing him home, he fell in love with Jody completely, and she adored him also. But we would have something to talk about and laugh about and care for together. So he did a lot to heal our relationship. And Jody was the absolute passionate love of his life.
And then you would find, of course, something that you had of mutual interest to talk about at the dinner table.
Absolutely.
Right.
Absolutely. We always had Dewey stories to tell.
Yeah, you did indeed. Tell me about the story of, it's a very humorous part of the book, when Dewey is able to get rubber bands no matter where they are.
Well, Dewey was famous for all 19 years for probably the best cat sniffer nose that I've ever seen, and I've known a lot of cats. He could smell smells that other people couldn't, and he apparently absolutely loved the smell of plastic rubber bands. So at first he was, you know, just playing with them. Soon he was eating them, and we would find them either remnants on the floor or remnants in his litter box, and I knew it couldn't be good for him. So we started trying to hide rubber bands, and we thought we were doing a very good job, but it didn't matter where they were. If they were within a mile, Dewey could find them. He would find them in cups and in the bottom of staple holders. And we got very good at hiding rubber bands, but we could never seem to end the supply. You can imagine the library has a lot of rubber bands.
Right.
So eventually we had plenty of staff meetings where we talked about you must hide the rubber bands. They can't be on a desk or in a cup. They must be in a drawer. And we knocked the problem down a bit, but not all the way.
Mm-hmm.
Dewey eventually went to snipping rubber bands off of piles of cards. And the cards would be in perfect shape, but the rubber band would suddenly be missing. And he got very, very good at it. Luckily, in later years, he lost somewhat of the interest, but basically it was just the staff got extremely good at hiding them. Even the patrons had to ask for rubber bands because they were hidden away and none could be found. I think the funniest one was one day when I was working very hard on the rubber band problem, and I came by a cabinet that was full of supplies, and I kind of glanced to the side, and there was Dewey with about an 8-inch rubber band hanging out of his mouth.
Oh,
it was
no.
Blue. And it was about a 1/2 inch wide, and he had the biggest grin on his face.
He also, because we're at the holiday time, his experience of encountering his first Christmas tree.
Oh,
which
he adored the Christmas tree.
Yeah.
For all 19 years, he never gave up that love. And again, I think it was the smell of the plastic, but he would literally dance when we got the Christmas tree box out. And he couldn't wait for us to get it up. He never really chewed on it except for a couple of the lower branches, but he slept underneath it every day and every night that it was up for the holidays. And Christmas Tree Day was absolutely his favorite day of the year.
Aww.
Until he was 19.
We're going to welcome phone calls for Vicki. Vicki Myron is our guest, and we're talking about Dewey, the small-town library cat who touched the world. Vicki is the author of this story that has really captivated the country. It's a big bestseller. She worked for 25 years in the library as a librarian in Spencer, Iowa, 20 years as director. And this is the story of Dewey the cat, who she found in a book slot at the library in Spencer, Iowa in 1988, Do We Live to Be 19 Years Old? And it's the story not only of the lives Dewey touched, as she beautifully says, he was an old soul in a cat's body, but it also looks at the difficult economic times in Iowa during the farm crisis. Those were the years of the farm crisis and bad economic times and people coming to the library who were trying to find jobs and trying to find comfort and sometimes didn't say a word, and Dewey knew who those people were and who to comfort. Well, we welcome your phone calls. The number is 800-486-8655, 800-486-8655 for you to join our conversation. Or you could send an email if you'd like, and that address is talk@WPR.org, talk@WPR.org. Our lines are open for you right now. I'm Kathleen Dunn. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Vicki Myron is our guest. Her book is Dewey, the Small Town Library Cat Who Touched the World. Our phone number is 800-486-8655, 800-486-8655. While John is getting the phone calls in, we'll be with you in just a moment, I promise. And you can send an email as well. That's talk@WPR.org, talk@WPR.org. Before we go to calls, I was interested in a news report. Maybe you saw it was either last night or the night before that talked about how important libraries right now have become to people, that card registration is up 50% in lots of communities in this town, that the people are just flooding the libraries.
Yes.
And yes, I was reading your book at the same time thinking, well, isn't this interesting? It really is a place of comfort for people.
Yes, and there's a famous quote that says, libraries are vital during good economic times, but they're essential during bad economic times. It levels the playing field for everyone.
Mm-hmm. And what is it that's so vital about him? Is it a sense of community? Is it the help that you can give people finding jobs, et cetera?
It's all those things. It can be, at least if it's a good library, the center of the library, of the community. Librarians do a lot more than people think, which was one of the things I tried to talk about in the book, is that we study community analysis. We figure out people's needs before they ask for them. We study trends. We know where the economy is going, where the businesses are going. We try and serve the people in different ways than just fiction books. And we also, especially with the internet out there, there's so much stuff that it's important that you have someone who's a specialist who knows where the correct information is. Mm-hmm. There's a lot on the internet, and it's wonderful, but it needs to be brought down into a manageable form for people to get the correct information from the right sources.
Mm-hmm. Let's start our phone calls for you with Anne from Carlton, Minnesota. Hi, Anne.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi. Actually, I am Anne Towsley now, but I was Anne Houlihan. My father is John Houlihan.
Oh, so. Hi.
Hi. I just wanted to call in and say hello. I think it's neat that it's gotten this far, and I grew up hearing stories about it and remember all those times back in Iowa. So I just wanted to call and say hi and think it's really interesting to even hear the stories about disabled people. I own group homes now that deal with people with disabilities, and that's the first time I've heard some of those stories. So I just wanted to call in and say hi and think it's really neat how big this has gotten.
Well, thank you.
Hmm. Yes.
Thanks very much for the call, and let's go to Terry from Nina next. Hi, Terry.
Hi, how are you?
Fine, how are you?
Great.
Good.
First of all, I have a confession. I'm not much of a reader, never have been, but I was born in Iowa, lived in Algona, vacationed just north of Spencer, and went through it many times going to Grandma's house down near Sioux City or Akron. I had a curious question whether or not, I know that whole area around Spencer, Okoboji and Spirit Lake, it's kind of a special.
Yes, it certainly
feeling.
Is.
Did Vicki, did you get your degree from the notorious Okoboji U?
No, I actually didn't, but I claim to be.
Okay.
A lot of people have graduated from Okoboji U.
Yeah, that's an interesting story, and it just shows the imagination of what the Iowa hardiness, and their imagination can come up with. So thank you so much for sharing the story and bringing back so many memories of my childhood in Iowa. And I'd almost forgotten, but we had a day cat called the Snickers. And but it was, someone took the abuse of all the frustration. It wasn't so much the caregiving, but it was the tea kettle tempest, so to speak.
Oh.
So thank you so much for your time.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, thanks very much for the call. You may want to tell your story because it is, I mean, it encompasses a lot, your story of how you got to college, Vicki.
Yes, I was graduated in 1966 and had guidance counselors who told me that even though I was a straight-A student, that I didn't need to worry about college because I would just get married and have babies anyway. And that's kind of what happened. I moved to Mankato, Minnesota, and put two brothers through college and got married, had a child, lived with an alcoholic husband, ended up losing everything, and decided my only way back was education. So I was a late college starter. I think I started when I was 29. I graduated when I was 32. And started a whole new life. Didn't plan on being a librarian. I was going to be a psychologist, but I had taken library science as a minor, and this job in Spencer, Iowa came open as assistant director at the library, and I took it as a temporary job, fell in love with the job, knew that that's what I wanted to do, and went on to get my master's degree from Emporia State University in Kansas.
Mm-hmm. And you were the first in your family because your brothers didn't graduate.
They didn't finish, so I was the first college graduate. And my daughter was the second. So.
Yeah, that's quite something. So the importance of learning and books in your life cannot be said enough.
No, mm-hmm. No. It's what saved my life and gave me a wonderful career. So.
Right. Let's go to Kathy from Stoughton next. Hi, Kathy.
Hi there, Kathleen. Hi, Vicki.
Hi.
I just want to express my sincere gratitude for sharing your story and writing this book. I feel like the one person on the face of the earth that had never heard of Dewey before reading this book. And I was just so touched. I mean, being a cat person, I absolutely adored your story. And I could definitely picture Dewey and all of his antics in my mind as you were writing this book. And I guess a couple of questions that I had, just kind of an epilogue to the epilogue. How is the rest of your family doing? You know, how are the grandkids? How's Jody? How is your father?
Yep, my father is doing very well. He lives at Okoboji, just about 12, 15 miles from here. He's doing quite well, back to golfing and getting out and about, so he's quite well. Jody is in Omaha. She teaches high school special ed. The twins are 4. They are absolutely adorable, and Jody is expecting a baby boy next week.
Oh, my gosh, next week.
Wow.
Next week, yes. I will have a new grandson.
Huh. Isn't that something? Thank you, Kathy. Thanks
for
the call. And when she talks about being the only person in the world who didn't know about Dewey, Dewey really attracted the attention of the world. Tell us some of those stories.
He received email and letters from all over the world. He had pen pals in England and Canada as far back as 1994. I did radio interviews with New Zealand and Australia. This was all while he was alive. He was in the Jerusalem Israel newspaper. He was in 22 international magazines. He's on Paul Harvey's Rest of the Story. And in 2004, Japanese public television came from Tokyo to do a documentary on him. So he was very famous in Japan. And as of right now, we've sold the book in 26 countries.
Oh, my gosh.
It will be translated into every language you can think of, including Sanskrit. And there are more countries coming on board all the time. And so now I'm hearing from book fans from Portugal and Brazil and Japan and I think it's out in 9 countries now. Some of the countries are publishing in January or February. In fact, I'll be going to England in February for their big kickoff, and also Lisbon, Spain, and Frankfurt, Germany.
Oh, my gosh, Vicki.
He was famous all around the world before he died, and he's even more famous now.
So. Yeah. Oh, yes, he's very famous now. So he needed, who did all the work in answering his correspondence?
Well, that would be me.
Oh, my gosh.
I never solicited any of his publicity, but I always made sure that his image was marketed the correct way and that everything stayed, you know, in a good way.
Mm-hmm.
So I answered thousands of emails during his lifetime and did lots of radio and TV interviews about him and with him. So this is not really new to me. It's more intense, but this is what I did for Dewey for 19 years, and I continue to do now. So.
Thanks, Kathy, for the call. An email, Vicki, is the picture on the book cover actually Dewey?
Yes, and I get that question a lot, and I think it's because the picture is so perfect,
mm-hmm.
people can't believe it's him. But he was 2 and a half when that picture was taken. It was his official portrait. That one of the local photographers was having a contest, and I took Dewey over there, and since they had been doing so many dogs and cats, there were many strange smells in the studio, and Dewey was very nervous, but he always loved cameras, which is why he was a favorite of photographers, because he would pose. Whether cats would walk away, he just posed. But he was so nervous when we got there, we couldn't get him to sit in the chair or settle down, and so I asked Rick, can I show him the camera? And he said, well, sure, but it's a big box professional camera. I'll doubt if he will recognize it. I said, well, just give me a try. So I carried him to the camera, and I let him smell it, and I told him over and over, Dewey, this is a camera. We're going to take your picture, just like we always do. And I felt him relax in my arms. And I put him down, and I said, now go sit in the chair. And he climbed up in the chair, and he struck that pose, and we took that photo in 30 seconds.
Oh, my gosh. He is one handsome cat, too.
He was.
Yeah.
Yes.
One handsome cat. Kurt from Green Bay. Hi, Kurt.
Hi. Well, you guys just sort of played exactly into what I was going to ask. For those of us who haven't seen the book and have never seen a picture of Dewey, could you describe to us, you know, physically what kind of cat he was? What kind of coloring did he have? How big was he? Even things like, was he a talker?
No, he wasn't a talker. He was a long-haired orange tabby. A lot of people have said he looked like a Maine Coon because as he grew older, his fur got longer and longer. He had gorgeous silky orange fur that felt like silk. He was not very big. His biggest weight was 8.6 pounds. But he had so much fur that people thought he weighed more, like 10 or 15 pounds. You can go see wonderful pictures of Dewey on his website, DeweyReadMoreBooks.com. You can also see video of Dewey in action. And you can also visit Spencer Public Library's site, which is SpencerLibrary.com, and see more pictures of him at work and also purchase postcards that the Friends Group have been selling for 20 years of Dewey. So
check that out, because he sounds like a wonderful cat. We've got a large orange female, and she shares many characteristics with Dewey, from what I understand of, you know, of you saying of him. So
yes.
So I'm definitely going to check that out. Thank you very much for answering my question.
Thanks for the call. And you had people, once the word got out about Dewey, you had people from all over the country stop at the Spencer Library.
It was amazing. The first time it happened, I was very shocked. We had a couple from Rhode Island who walked in and said, we're here to see the cat. And we flew to Minneapolis for a wedding and just decided to rent a car and come down and take pictures of Dewey. And that's a four-hour drive. So I was extremely shocked and thought, well, this will never happen again. But it happened constantly, especially in the summer. People would actually veer off their vacations to come to Spencer and take pictures of Dewey. And it happened probably 2 to 3 times a week during the summertime. And those people would go home and tell someone else, who would then either come and visit him or write an article about him. We would get clippings from Texas and Michigan and California where people had written about meeting Dewey. And that's basically how his fame spread, was word of mouth.
Angie from Washburn is next. Hi, Angie.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi. I'm from Spencer.
Oh, you are.
I grew up there, and I was 11 when the cat came to the town, so it was kind of a exciting time.
Oh.
And I just wanted to say thanks, Vicki, for writing a book that really unites or gives Spencer some pride. Like, I live in Wisconsin now, and I've read it, and it makes me proud of where I grew up and makes me feel more connected to the area than I even did before I read it, even though I grew up there. So it's really nice to read about your town.
Well, thank you.
In such a way.
I did have three goals when I wrote the book, and that was to preserve Dewey's image and to introduce him to a whole new audience who hadn't heard of him. But I also wanted to dispel some of the misconceptions about Iowa and the Midwest and talk about what makes the Midwest so wonderful. And also I wanted to dispel the stereotype of librarians. So I had three goals in mind, and I'm hearing even from other countries who are saying, I now understand the Midwest or the allure of Iowa. And so that's very gratifying.
Yeah, I think you achieved your goals.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks very much for the call. Here's an email. What do book people love more than books? Cats, of course. Great idea to write and publish. I wanted to let you know that I work in a high school library in Wisconsin, and we're currently reading Dewey for our book club. I think it's a wonderful story. I used to work in a small town public library here in Wisconsin, and as I'm reading this book, I am continually picturing that old library and how a cat would have fit in there. I'm a cat lover, and I'm so happy that you were able to have such a unique, fun experience, Jesse.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, that's nice. Let's go next to Amandu from Sun Prairie. Hi, Amandu.
Hi, Kathleen. Hi, Vicki. I'm really delighted to be participating in the program. I'm from Africa, a veterinarian working here in Sun Prairie in the dairy farm, and I adopted two cats, and I'm a single dad, and I know how much, you know, they helped me to raise my boy. But I think Vicki thought about the library go way behind the story of the cats, and I would just want to have some contribution of Vicki, you know, about the library, how much the library can, you know, save the underdevelopment in Africa, and that's what I would like to, you know, to have a thought about.
So, yes.
Thank you.
Thank you, Amandu, for your call. Do you want to respond to that? Or?
Well, I think he's right. Libraries can save communities. Education is the key to independence and survival and just about everything else. So
right.
I totally agree. I think that libraries in other countries are not exactly like the United States. I was involved in an exchange program with Bulgarian libraries, which were not open to the public and didn't allow children in. And so I did a lot of teaching with them when they were here visiting us to talk about that they're not just a warehouse for knowledge, that they are a community center and that they can literally change people's lives. So I'm a cheerleader for that, and I hope that more and more libraries are built in smaller countries.
Mm-hmm. Thank you so much for your call, Amandu. We're going to take more phone calls in a moment. Here's the number for you to reach us this hour, 800-486-8655. And our guest is Vicki Myron, author of Dewey, the Small Town Library Cat Who Touched the World. Vicki worked for 25 years in the library in Spencer, Iowa, 20 years as director of that library. The book has become a huge bestseller in this country, and as she said, she'll be going to England and I believe in to Spain in January because the book's being published in many languages all over the world. Our number, 800-486-8655, and the email, we've had quite a few of those as well, is talk@wpr.org. Lines are open for you if you've been trying to get through. I'm Kathleen Dunn. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Number is 800-486-8655, and You can also send an email. It's talk@wpr.org, talk@wpr.org. Vicki Myron is with us. Her book is Dewey, the Small Town Library Cat Who Touched the World. And the picture on the front is indeed, what a great story that was of Dewey posing for the camera, a natural. So Dewey is on the front of this book, which has been at the top of and close to the top of the bestseller list for the New York Times for weeks and weeks now, a story that has obviously touched many, many people in this country and has touched people in abroad because Dewey received attention from Japanese public television and from broadcasters all over. Let's go to another caller. Is it Betty from Middleton? Hello?
Hello, it's Betta.
Betta. Hi, Betta.
How are you? I'm so pleased to hear this conversation today. First of all, Vicki, congratulations on putting something together that I'll bet has just been much bigger than you ever imagined.
Certainly has.
Yeah.
I'm sorry?
It certainly has.
Yeah. I happen to share the same undergraduate college with you, Mankato. At that time, it was Mankato State.
Mm-hmm.
And so I read with great interest your connection with that city, too. And I thought about that time and period that you're writing about when the farmers were especially impacted and how the library became a community center. It's just a wonderful success story. And I am now at a point where I have a little more time. I'm retired and self-employed, and I'm beginning to use the library here in Middleton more and more. I stopped there just last night to return books, and I didn't want to just drop the books in the slot. I went in, I used the internet for a bit, and the people are wonderful, and I'm looking for a library cat in Middleton.
Well, I've had many, many libraries ask me how to get a cat and how to keep a cat, and I got so many people asking me that I finally wrote out kind of some rules, and I just send that out when I get the question now because it happens a lot, and a lot of libraries have tried it and not been as successful. You can't just take in any cat. It has to be a special one.
Well, everything was sort of came together perfectly for this little Dewey.
Yes.
And then he brought such great pleasure and just a tremendous gift that seems to be going out to everyone right now. So again, congratulations and pleasure to talk to you.
Thank you.
Thanks, Betta, so much for the call. Let's go to Linda from Milwaukee next. Hi, Linda.
Hi, how are you?
Fine, how are you?
I'm good. I just want to say that I didn't know of the book till I went to a bookstore to buy a different book and saw it and bought it for my mother, who I just found out is terminally ill.
Mm-hmm.
And in a nursing home in northern Wisconsin, and she absolutely loves the book and now can't keep it in her room because everyone in the nursing home is borrowing it and raving about it. And I just want to thank you for the great pleasure it gave her.
Thank you.
She has also been real involved in libraries and has roots in Emmitsburg, which is near Spencer.
Oh, yes, it is.
I just wanted to say
well, give her my best.
Thank you so much.
I'm glad she enjoyed it.
Yeah, thank you so much for the call. And your mom figures prominently in this book as well. And there are a lot of parts of the book that we haven't talked about because Dewey is the star, as he would be. But you write a lot about your mom, who really was a great source of help to you and comfort and
she was.
Kindness.
She was an amazing woman,
mm-hmm.
an amazing woman. And Dewey adored her as he did me, and she adored him. But my mother was a great source of strength for a lot of people in her life, and she was kind of a mother to all.
Mm-hmm.
And so I am very happy that she got to know Dewey. I'm disappointed that she doesn't know this part of it, but I have a feeling she's smiling somewhere in heaven.
Yeah. What does your dad think of all of this?
My dad is thrilled. he is. He's trying to decide who should play him in the movie right now, but...
Oh, that's right. I forgot. Is Meryl Streep doing you?
Yes, Meryl Streep is doing me.
Isn't that something?
It
I forgot is. About that part.
It's very exciting. We haven't inked a deal yet. We still have some legal small things to tie up, but hopefully within a week or two we will have a deal with New Line Cinema.
Oh, my.
And Meryl Streep will be playing my part. So that's very exciting and humbling.
It is very exciting. She's only the best actress around, right?
I know. I was thrilled.
I'll bet you were.
When I heard.
She'll do you justice. She'll do the story justice.
She will.
And but what about Dewey? Who's playing Dewey?
Well, we don't know. I have a feeling there may be more than one Orange Tabby playing Dewey's parts. But we have talked about maybe doing some special animation with his eyes, because his eyes were the secret to him.
Hmm.
So we'll see how that works out.
Hmm. Thanks, Linda, so much for the call. Bill is next from West Bend. Hi, Bill.
Hi, Vicki.
Hi.
I'm interested in finding out if the person who put this cat in the depository box ever was known to you.
No, actually, there were five people before Dewey was very famous. He'd been in some magazines and newspapers who told me that their neighbor or their cousin or their best friend put him in there. Some said to hurt him, some said to save him, but we could never confirm any of those stories. And oddly enough, after Dewey became famous and had made international news, there were 11 people who swore to me that they themselves put Dewey in there to save him. So I'm trying to imagine that night of 11 people
right.
in the alley and one kitten, but...
Well, I thought it would have been a wonderful small-town story to find the person in your own town who did it and for them to learn how famous Dewey became.
And, well, I think probably the person who did it did know, because Dewey was famous, you know, for so many years, but we'll never know
the truth of
who put him in there. So
to have done what they did, perhaps.
Possibly. But it was amazing how many people took credit.
Yes, well, thank you very much.
Thanks,
Bill. Thanks for the call. Dwayne is next from Holman. Hi, Dwayne.
Hi there. I lived in Spencer from 1996 to 2004, and I have personally petted Dewey, and so has my 8-year-old daughter.
Oh, good.
My wife worked for Northwest Iowa Bone and Joint, which I'm sure you're familiar with.
I sure am.
And I worked for Arno Motor Supply.
Okay.
And, no, we really enjoyed... It added a lot to the library, and because, you know, my daughter at a younger age was always more intrigued at, she reads books immensely, but she was always more intrigued to want to go to the library because of Dewey.
Because of Dewey, you
sure.
bet.
Yep, so it was, anyway, I just thought you would like to hear from somebody that used to be a resident.
Absolutely.
Spencer.
And I'd love to hear from people who knew him, so.
Hmm. Yep.
Thank you. Thanks very much for the call. Here's an email, and I had forgotten about this part of the story, and it was one of the obstacles you faced, and you have devoted time to this. This comes from Julie from Rice Lake. No, it's not. It's from, I don't know who it's from. And anyway, the story of Dewey sounds great. It's from Lake Mills. But what about library patrons who are allergic to cats? Weren't they effectively unable to use the library during his reign?
No, not really. Of course, I will never know if people stayed away because they were afraid to come, but we did discover that most people who were allergic, we consulted two doctors before we ever kept Dewey, and they came and went through the library. It's actually 13,500 square feet of one large open room with only bookshelves separating the areas. So both of the doctors said that if we were careful and people came for a visit, if they didn't work there for 8 hours or didn't pick him up, they should be fine. And we used an allergen spray every day, and it was actually staff duties to clean the hair off the chairs where Dewey slept at night.
Mm-hmm.
And we discovered that most people did not have a problem. In fact, some parents brought their allergic children in to pet Dewey for a minute or two so that they would have contact with a cat or a dog.
Mm-hmm.
And that proved pretty successful. The only two people that I knew of that had real problems were a young girl and a woman who had a fear of cats.
Mm-hmm.
Were not allergic, but feared cats. So they would just wave at us at the lobby door, and we would lock Dewey in my office for their visit. And all of the children in Story Hour called it Dewey's in timeout. And we were happy to lock him up for anyone else who would have requested that,
mm-hmm.
too.
Andrea from Racine. Hi.
Hi, Kathleen. Hi, Vicki.
Hi.
Hi. I just wanted to say it was really fun to read your book. I grew up in Storm Lake, Iowa.
Ah.
My parents actually went to high school with you in Hartley, and my mother attended the school in Manita when she was little, so it was just fun to read it and call her and just
Who's
talk
your mother?
About it. I'm sorry, what?
Who is your mother?
Jerry Hurt.
Oh, of course.
Yeah, my dad's yes. James Potter.
Yes, yes.
And it made me homesick. My grandparents sold the farm, 20 years ago, and they live in Okoboji. Seems everybody does. And I haven't been to Hartley in 10 years, so it was really fun to read.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, thanks very much for the call. And you wonder why we love the Midwest, right?
Right.
Because of that, Vicki, yeah. Because of all of these calls. Reed from Clintonville. Hi, Reed.
Oh, good morning. First off, let me just say anyone that owns a cat needs to make sure that that cat is well cared for. Cats seem to appear to be able to take care of themselves, but they need care and love, medical care as well. Now, is this going to be recorded for books?
Yes, actually it already is. The day the hardcover came out, the audiobook also came out on the same day. It's also available in large print, and we will soon be doing a teen version of Dewey.
Oh.
And we've begun already writing a series of children's books, picture books for little children. That the first one will be coming out in September. So.
Mm-hmm. He plans by Wisconsin Public Radio to read Dewey on Chapter a Day.
I don't know. We'll pass along that suggestion. Be a nice book for Chapter a Day.
Thank you, Kathleen. That's about it. So enjoy the day, ladies, and thank you very much.
Thank you,
Reed.
Bye.
Okay, bye. Sandy is next from Cumberland. Hi, Sandy.
Hi, Kathleen. Hi, Vicki. What a wonderful program. Just wanted to mention that I think that anything that highlights libraries is absolutely A+, and obviously your guest and the lovely cat have done so. And I just wanted to mention that I'm from Cumberland, but the community of Barron is fairly close, and they provide a wonderful service for our Somalian people who work there at the local poultry plant, and they are able to print off their newspapers from their home areas and get those out to them, and I think that's a service in itself, and I want to thank you for the service today and for Vicki and for Dewey, and have a great day, and I'm signing off. Bye-bye. Thank you.
Thank you very much for the call. Let's spend a little bit more time talking about Spencer and talking about, and I'm sure that there are parallels, strong parallels between the time you describe in the book and in Spencer, Iowa in 2008, and more of the country is experiencing some of the crisis that took place then. How is the town doing now? Is the town
thriving. It's doing very, very well.
Is it?
Spencer's always been a survivor, and we have wonderful people who seem to volunteer for anything. It's a very tight-knit community, and I think a lot of that has to do with the big fire in 1931, which burnt 72 businesses in 8 blocks of the downtown area. A lot of towns would have shriveled up and died from that, but within a year, Spencer had rebuilt most of the businesses, or they were open in temporary buildings. And so there's a survivor spirit in Spencer that's wonderful. And now Spencer's doing extremely well. We're a regional center for a lot of the small communities. We're bringing in new businesses all the time. The town is thriving, and it's wonderful to see. It's a great community with a wonderful spirit, and I think that's true of a lot of communities in the Midwest, but I was lucky enough to be able to highlight Spencer's spirit. So
right. Well, best of luck to you on this story that just keeps getting bigger and bigger and bigger. It's quite something to have happen in your life, isn't it?
Yes, it is. It's I always called it Dewey's magic. When he was alive, the way he brought people in and brought them together, and I think Dewey's magic is continuing. So
I think you're right about that, Vicki. Thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you.
Vicki Myron, the book is Dewey, the Small Town Library Cat Who Touched the World. And our guest, Vicki Myron, was born on a farm 15 miles from Spencer, Iowa, and She has worked at the Spencer Library for 25 years. She worked the last 20 of those years as director. And now we learn that Meryl Streep is going to play her in a film about Dewey, which is coming up soon. She's going to England as this book is released in Europe, and it's being translated into many different languages and being sold all over the world. Quite a story, huh? Dewey, the small-town library cat who touched the world. Thanks to Rhonda Fanning for producing this hour, and thanks to John Treader for on-air production here in our studios in Milwaukee. Thank you, everybody, for all of your calls and making this story pretty personal. Nice to hear from Iowa people on this show. We love Iowa people. We love Wisconsin people, too, and Illinois and Michigan. We have a special place in our hearts for Iowa people. We'll be with you again on Monday, and all things political, which starts at 9 o'clock on Monday. It's our tradition to talk about all the politics of the week, so that is the next time I'll be speaking with you. I'm Kathleen Dunn. News ahead from National Public Radio and many more hours of great conversation as well. It's a minute now before 11, and you are listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.